0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards the next set of post-split fixtures. Callum McGregor is expecting a Celtic reaction to last week's defeat as they return for a first home game as champions. Rangers are linked with LA midfielder Jose Cifuentes, an advantage Airdrie in the championship playoffs against Hamilton, with Partick Air to come tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
It's a time of the season where transfer speculation is rife for the teams whose season is done and dusted. However, there's still plenty to play for the teams scrapping against relegation and also those teams looking to come up via the playoffs. Plenty exciting football, plenty playoff football to come over the weekend. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I think there's still a lot of excitement about the Scottish game. Obviously, tomorrow night, massive game at Fir Hill, Partick and Mull Club Air United. And then the weekend, a lot of important games, especially down bottom six. Aberdeen, great opportunity early at 12:30 kickoff at Tynecastle to cement third place. So looking forward to a nice weekend.
Come on down then, 01419511025. What have you got for us tonight? It really is up to you. It's a bit of a blank slate again. I don't think it's been the busiest day in Scottish football in terms of big, hard-hitting breaking news. However, there is certainly more than enough to keep us going. So get your thoughts over to Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson on that number or on Twitter over there at Clyde SSB. We're going to hear from Celtic captain Callum McGregor, expecting somewhat of a reaction to last weekend's defeat against Rangers, albeit the title is already in the bag. So maybe we should look forward, Celtic fans. What are you expecting? What are you hoping for between now and the end of the season? Because we spent the last few days saying, oh, maybe the strength and depth in certain areas hasn't worked, but are you as well just sticking with that until the end of the season? Do you want to see more of Burnaby, more of O, more of Kobayashi? Is that the only way that you're really going to learn properly? What are you expecting? What are you hoping for between now and the end of the season? The points record can't be reached, unless my arithmetic is off, but I'm pretty sure the points record can't be reached. So what is it? What are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to see? What are you trying to learn between now and the end of the season? Rangers, you of course started this process already, really, didn't you, by changing things up a bit and linked today with LA midfielder Jose Cifuentes. Is that one that you've been doing your research on? Have you been doing the old YouTube, Wikipedia reliable source search to find out bits and pieces? Is that an area you think you want to see prioritised by Michael Beale in the summer? Pick up the phone and let us know. 01419511025. Let's do it. You can tweet us as always. Playoffs, if you've got them on your mind. I think it was last night's Beat the Pundit contestant that was on the way to the Airdrie Hamilton game. So you never know if you were there.
He wasn't a fan of either. You believe that?
Just a football fan.
Just a football just fan.
Love I like that.
Kind of yep. Kind of like yourself.
I like that. Spur of the moment. What will I do tonight? Boom, over and watch again.
And wouldn't be the pundit on the way.
Wouldn't be the pundit. That's a fantastic night. Yeah, I'm looking forward.
It is indeed. So if you want to talk playoffs, you can. Getting a bit interesting down at the bottom. I mean, well, it's been interesting for a while, but Killie St Johnstone this weekend. Look, it's not a war of words. It's not a spat, as much as our newspaper colleagues would like to have you believe. But you know, Stephen McLean saying that, you know, they'll fancies them to stay up, and Derek McInnes warning them that, you know, these things aren't guaranteed.
Good.
That'll be an interesting one. We'll play those comments a bit later on. Going to be some weekend at the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's so many important games. Killie St Johnstone, that is a cracker. I think Killie will stay there. I think they'll be okay, because I may be wrong here on Saturday at 5 o'clock, but I think their home record this season is the one that will save them. I think Dundee United going to Livy now, everybody thinks that Livy have put the tools away. They're looking forward to their holidays with past results, but it's always difficult going there, and especially if you need a result. Dundee United coming off two defeats, struggling at the bottom of the league, that's a pressure game. I just think there's, and obviously Motherwell banging for them against a Ross County team that you never know what you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, think it's all going to kick off this weekend with Hearts Aberdeen as well. You could be looking at a result which pretty much secures third for Aberdeen. or it's going to be game on if it goes the other way.
Well, that's a huge game in itself, because it's all boiled down to this. You know, you look at both sides this season, Hearts and Aberdeen. We always chat about budgets and how far they are probably ahead of everybody else, but two of them have made a mess of it at crucial times this season. Aberdeen were going great at one point before Christmas, sitting third. Then they blow up under Jim Gooden and it all goes wrong for them. Hearts capitalise on that and get themselves in front, beating Aberdeen 5-0 in the process. And then all of a sudden it swings. Barry Robson takes over. A brilliant run has put them in the driving seat. Robbie Nielsen exits and then they're miles behind. But they've got it closer, and close enough. If they get a result, then it certainly makes it interesting coming into the last few games of the season. And we all know what that does for your budget. If you're guaranteed European football, it brings a huge amount to your club, and it allows each respective manager to then start planning ahead of bringing better players in next season.
Come on then, 01419511025. Let's kick off by hearing from Callum McGregor. So it's maybe one that you Celtic fans will want to get involved in. What are you hoping for? What do you want to learn? What do you want to see between now and the end of the season? What is the priority? The points record cannot be reached. Do you want to experiment a bit more with some of those fringe players that came in at the weekend? Is there any point in ripping it all up and going full strength again this weekend when the title's in the bag? You tell us. Callum McGregor says the team will bounce back after a week of positivity around the place.
But I think it always has to hurt, you know. Once you get a slap around the face, then it's, you have to show reaction, you have to show personal pride, you have to show pride in the club and the group. I think with this group of players, you can see how much it means to them. So that's been positive. It's a case of dusting myself down. Training's been good. If you start to let these things fester, then, you know, you're in a bit of trouble. So I think at this point in the season, it's much more important for us to be looking at the positives. You know, we've got two trophies in the bag. We're playing for a third one.
Indeed, quite a few positives. Jerry's a Celtic fan on the line. What do you want to see achieved? I mean, apart from the Scottish Cup, Jerry, that goes without saying. Can I mean in the remaining league games? What do you want to see?
Hi, Gordon. Yeah, I'm just back from a week's holiday in Tenerife there, and I got to listen. I know, first holiday since COVID, so I don't have quite as good a tan as Kenny Miller, but I'm getting there. But,
no one does.
You know, No, but the thing is, I mean, I listened to the league win and that was great, and then the following weekend we obviously lost on Sunday, and it turns out we lost the Bragging Rights Cup. I don't know how we're going to recover from that, but we'll just have to make do with a treble. But I think we're going to see a reaction, Gordon. Look, it was a poor performance. I didn't see the game. Luckily, if I couldn't find one of the Irish pubs in time, so I didn't know which point in doing that. But you'll see a reaction on Saturday. I think you're going to look at players like Kyogo come back in. Greg Taylor's a massively important player for us. Maybe Aaron Moyle come back in. We've got a massive cup final to look forward to now. Very interested to see Dermot Desmond in town. A lot of speculation. Maybe that's a long-term contract for Ange. Hopefully that would maybe be announced just before the cup final. That would give everyone at Celtic a real massive boost. But you're going to see a reaction in these next few games. It was a disappointing performance. We put it to bed. We move on. Ange has lost, I think, only two games against Rangers in his entire time here. His win record is massively impressive. He'll recover from that, no problem. Trevor will be in the bag, in my opinion, and we'll just take it from there, really.
Do you agree with that, Mark, in the sense that, well, Kobayashi presumably stays in because Carter Vickers' season is over. Do you bring Greg Taylor back? Do you bring Kyogo back? Is that the O and Burnaby in from the start experiment over? And if so, why? Because these games are not meaningless. We know none of them are meaningless. Celtic have won the title. Why would you not give them a bit longer?
Yeah, I really don't see the merit in bringing Taylor in and Kyogo back in. Every Celtic fan knows what they can do. The Celtic manager knows what they can do. There is a bigger game on the horizon, which is the Scottish Cup final to complete the treble, and they will play in that game. But I think this time's valuable for the Celtic manager and valuable for the players that are on the fringes of the first team. So Kobayashi, Burnaby, Haksabanovic, who's been in and out. I think even young Ben Summers maybe getting some game time. Awata, Turnbull, where's his future going to be? Maybe Vata, who's been in and out. I think for those players, this period's great for them. Celtic, the pressure is off. Ange Postecoglou's got to learn what these guys can do in a first team environment, playing from the start, not just contributing when the game's done and dusted. So he may well bring Taylor and the rest in, but I think he'd be better served giving these guys more game time.
Jerry, can you see that side of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll probably be missing to have the Gordon. I don't believe he'll bring Taylor and Kyogo right back for Saturday. I just think with the cup final in mind, those guys will definitely play. Look, the thing you have to remember, think about O, for example, he gets signed in January. And Odson Edward, when we signed him, if you remember, we brought him in August 2017, I think. For the first half of that season, he only got like two or three goals. It wasn't until 6 months later when he got that goal against the 10-man game at Ibrox. And then he had two against the 5-0 game that we really started to see the best of him. Guys like O and Iwata, they've been brought in, I think, for next season. You'll see them start to develop and really make an impact next season, in my opinion. Maybe Burnaby as well. I'm not sure about Burnaby because Greg Taylor's been so good. It's not really a slight on Burnaby. Burnaby just hasn't been able to get in the team because Greg Taylor has been so good. But you saw the impact Alistair Johnston has, and I think that's probably had a detrimental effect on Tony Ralston. Not to say he's been poor himself, but he just hasn't been able to have an impact because Johnston has been so good. So, look, I think the squad is in a good position. Clearly, Ange will want to keep it improving, but there's really nothing to worry about, you know, after just one bad performance. I'm glad I missed kind of most of the media hype last week. Some of my mates were telling me about it as being a bit over the top. But for me, a one-off game, you know, the post-league victory game for Rangers, good on them. They get a wee bit of hype for that for a week. But normal service will resume from next season, in my opinion.
May well be the case, Gordon. What will Celtic be looking to achieve, learn, whatever word you want to use, in the league, you know, between now and the end of the season, starting with St Mirren this weekend?
Depends on his plans leading up to the Scottish Cup final, Gordon. I think he'll have it in his head who plays and when they play fit. You know, you've got to take into consideration there could be Caltaniggle injuries. I'm with Mark. I don't see the point of playing these players last Sunday and then just going, right, okay, we'll rip that up. A couple of games. You know, he'll have his plan to bring in Greg Taylor and Kyogo, obviously, get them back into their match fit, no match fitness, but that wee bit of sharpness, that wee bit of edge for the Scottish Cup final. So he's got plenty of time to play with. I would like to see them getting an opportunity again, because I just don't think you can judge players in just a one-off game. And it was a big game, and all credit to Rangers, I thought they were excellent. So I've got a feeling he might just tweak one or two things against it, man.
I suppose, Mark, you know, last week's the game against the toughest domestic opponent you'll face. If you're saying that a couple of the players were slightly below par or whatever, or, you know, didn't have their finest game, is that enough to sort of rip that up? Would you try it again in a home game? And
of course, because remember the players were, you're right, they were flung in against your closest opponents into a stadium without any fans behind them in a completely different environment than anybody's used to playing in. And some of them, of course, didn't handle it the best. Some of them were caught short and looked way short. That's not to say that they can't handle it at home against St Mirren. I don't think it can go against you by starting these players again. You're only going to learn again. You're going to learn if they can handle bouncing back from a defeat like that and everything that comes with it in the week in between and the criticism of your performance level. Ange Postecoglou will learn more about them again on Saturday if he starts them and sees how he handles, how those players handle things from the off, rather than giving them 15 minutes at the end.
You know, it's funny because Gerry mentions O, and the sort of easy argument that we keep hearing is, well, he's not as good as Giakoumakis is in terms of, you know, being an understudy to Kyogo or maybe even challenging Kyogo. But Giakoumakis didn't start fast either. Far from it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about the young lad. Could be a different ball game. We could have been sitting here saying, what a terrific finish last Sunday. He hits the post. He's got plenty of time in his hands. The manager will know how to use him. He's been making an impact from the bench. He's different from Kyogo. So he's got to learn the Scottish game as well. He's got to learn his teammates, and his teammates have got to learn how he plays. Because I remember Postecoglou not that long ago talking about, we've still got to find Kyogo with his runs because we're not quick enough, because we've not got that, you know, combinations going with the midfield players and whatever. And you look at what he's done this season, he's been absolutely brilliant. So always the same. I think you've got to give players a bit of time. We're too quick to judge. I think you'll see the best duo probably next season.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it earlier. The level of success that the Celtic manager got from his first couple of signings has made it extremely difficult for the other ones that came in after that window. So I know Jota and Carter Vickers were signed after loan periods. but obviously Kyogo, Maeda, Hatate, when they came in, everyone went, wow, this guy can't get anything wrong with signings, forgetting that normality is that players take a wee bit of time to settle. I think O is in that category. Of course, Alistair Johnson did the exact same as the other ones. So he's been great at identifying players who can come in and affect the team right away. But that's not for everyone. Some people take time to develop, especially the younger players like O.
Jerry, does that cup final round the corner, is that maybe what can give these players the edge? And this is a compliment. This is a nice scenario that Celtic are in, where they've done it, they've wrapped it up. And then last week was a bit different because it's the derby and it's all the bragging rights and all the edge that goes along with that. If there was any chance, and Ange Postecoglou doesn't strike you as the type, but if there was any chance of a foot coming off the gas anywhere, is it the cup final that provides that motivation?
Yeah, absolutely. God, I mean, I've always been a bit flipping and saying, oh, we'll definitely walk. I'm confident we'll win, but you can never take anything for granted. But that's what's good about Ange Postecoglou with this squad of players. He will never take in. He will not allow them to take the foot off the gas, even if there's a hint of a complacency, thinking, oh, we've only got to play Inverness, who are going to be off the boil because not played for a month. He will not allow that, and he will make sure that those players are 100% focused. So that gives me confidence for the cup final. But just having that sort of mentality is so important heading in, not just to the cup final, but any game really. With this manager, he's just got it. He's got it in abundance.
I do just wonder, Mark, the other side of it, and I appreciate winning the league is the biggest statement you can make, right? So Celtic have done that already. I just wonder if there's any temptation there for him to go really strong and just sort of prove that last week was just this sort of one-off. Or maybe he's got faith that happens with these guys anyway. But you just wonder what the...
You never know with the Celtic manager, the mood he's in. Because we've seen times in the past, cup games in the past, where easier opposition, we think, oh, he'll rotate. There's big Champions League games coming up, and he goes full tilt. So you never know. But just come back to pick the game at Ibrox, to try a few things out, in his words, and try a few different people out, to then scrap it after 90 minutes. You wonder what was the point then.
Thank you to Jerry. Well, whatever happens, Celtic will be returning to Celtic Park as champions for the first time on the pitch, certainly. I know they had celebrations outside afterwards, but Callum McGregor is looking forward to that.
It's been a few weeks since we've been there. Great to go back as champions. I think that was the mantra when we left the place after the Motherwell game, was, you know, for the next time we get back to our stadium, can we be champions? And the objective has been completed, so that's great. You know, a great lift for the players to get back in front of the home supporters, and vice versa. You know, great for the supporters to see the team back after being successful and, like I say, winning the league again.
Right, what do you think? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? Give us a call, 01419511025. And Rangers fans, it's good old transfer speculation season. Jose Cifuentes, is that one that you've looked into? Is that an area of the pitch you think you could be looking for? Is it a signing you'd expect to happen? All the usual questions at this stage. Get them in, and we'll speak to you, Nick.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. So please give us a call. It's almost like a plea from me to you on a Thursday night, because the more you call in, the less I have to listen to these two. So you're doing me a service. It would be much appreciated. Give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. Before the break, we were discussing Celtic and what the sort of aims, objectives, learning processes might be between now and the end of the season in the league, because that points record is gone, Mark. Again, that's not the end of the world. We're talking, I don't want this to come across like, oh, poor old Celtic are only on 95 points at the moment. But it's just, you know, it was something that was mentioned in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And obviously the aftermath of the Rangers game, I think, was more about the match itself and where those teams are, and maybe the fact that the points record has slipped away has gone under the radar a bit. Will people care? Probably not. But it's just one of those things.
Listen, at the start of the season, of course nobody would even bat an eyelid at that. But when you get within touching distance and you look back at your season, you're sitting at 95 points with the potential to go and break something that's been great for years. Then of course you want to go and achieve it. I think the Celtic manager would have been disappointed that that's been taken away. All managers have got egos. And when Ange Postecoglou's built this team, and all credit's coming his way, year upon year, tournament upon tournament, of course he wants to win it all and win it in the best style he could possibly do. That'll be smashing points, I mean, barriers.
They still can get to 104, Gordon, which wouldn't exactly be.
It's not bad. It's 2 points less than the best, so it's
behave yourself.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, and lost only 2 games. They've not. What have they lost? 28 goals against as well so far. Yeah, they've been absolutely fantastic. I take on board what Mark's saying. Definitely, you want to. You're greedy as a manager. You're greedy as a player. You want all the. All the records you possibly can. But if you decide to Celtic, you're playing Inverness on the 3rd of June for a treble, I think they'd be over a moon.
And as Postecoglou said, the goals record was one he liked, because that's why you go to football, wasn't it, to see goals. So they're already at the 105. So that's going to be certainly improved upon, you would imagine. And by the way, in case you're wondering, this is just what happens when you've got a title race that's wrapped up early. You've only got these small talking points to go on at the top. But luckily, down the division, in the European places, the relegation battle, the playoffs, there is a lot of excitement left there, so fear not. Paul is a Celtic fan. Paul, what are you thinking? What are you hoping to take away from the remaining league games starting this weekend?
Hey, hi Gordon, hi guys. I'm hoping that the guys that came in that were playing on Saturday and didn't have an impact, I'm hoping if they get another chance, they might now make an impact, but I don't know if some of them have actually have kind of had it. I don't know. Anne's didn't sound too positive about a few of them that came in. Now, the squad players, and this is the same in every squad, but I think the way that you continually improve your squad is by bringing guys in that you hope to be first team players to push. But there is a crop of Celtic players now that I think possibly will get shifted out the door. Now, I'm not overly worried. I think this is normal. I tell off last night, I heard a few saying that after the weekend, all the Celtic supporters are feeling really flat, and we're really flat. I mean, talking about dramatic. We're on the verge of a treble. We're supposed to be out the game last season almost, the rebuilding job. But I think we're by far feeling flat.
I wouldn't argue about that too much. It was a Hugh Keevan's turn of phrase. I don't think it was one that we have to necessarily psychoanalyse between now and the end of the show. But Paul's greater point, Mark, about the fringe players heading into next season.
Well, it's important. Look, if I was going along to Celtic Park this Saturday, who would I prefer to see? Now, I know people would be going, well, easy answer. You want to see the big stars. You want to see Kyogo, and you want to see Itati. But I've learned everything I would need to know. I would probably get more satisfaction out of seeing the guys that started the game at the weekend again. I would probably get more satisfaction out of seeing some of the young boys like Summers or Vata come on and play really well and give me optimism for the future. I'd rather see O scoring a couple of goals rather than Kyogo or Maeda again. And I would learn a lot more about it. I'd rather see Iwata go in there and be really controlling in the middle of the park. So to say, well, next year, if these guys are off the boil, if Itati has an off spell, if O'Reilly isn't at it, if Kyogo's injured. By the way, the game against St Mirren last year, remember when O stepped up and took his chance and he looked really strong, really powerful and a good goals? That's what I'd rather see. I wonder if the Celtic manager thinks the same way. I don't know.
I suppose, because if we're in the business of quoting Hugh Keevans in the city where every draws a disaster and a defeat's a catastrophe or whatever, you just don't get many of those days where the pressure isn't quite as intensified. Now, yes, Celtic go into every game big favourites, really, or the vast majority of them, so there should still really be scope in there to use your fringe players who are probably worth millions in our international football.
Yeah.
But only by wrapping up a league this early, like we said, it's a nice position to be in. You just don't often get that breathing space, do you?
Yeah, but the one thing we're forgetting, the Celtic manager will give St Mirren every respect possible, and they deserve it, because they've been excellent this season and they're a good side, St Mirren. But I'm with Mark here. If I'm sitting there, I want to see a bit more of the fringe players, because there are big decisions got to be made. I don't think you can just show players into the odd game and then make your mind up. We've seen it time and time again. Some players hit the ground running and they're brilliant. And Celtic, I've got a good record at. Some other players take time to blend into the game, the Scottish game, blend into the club, the pressures of being at a club. You know, St Mirren, Celtic probably be still 60,000 Celtic Park. It's a lot for a young lad getting out there trying to prove yourself and saying to yourself, maybe this is just one game I've got a chance to prove myself. I'm sure the manager's saying, look, yeah, I was disappointed on Sunday. One or two of them didn't take their chance. But, you know, I think you'll be encouraging them. Look, you're going to get an opportunity. Look at, for instance, Bill with McCrory. He's getting an opportunity at the end of the season. I think that's the best way to go and handle it. The problem with Celtic is he's still got to have that fine balance to get everybody just peaking right for the
30. By the way, I wonder even the goalkeeping position. You know, Joe Hart's played every minute of every league game this season. What else are you going to learn from Joe Hart?
Do you wonder if that changes though, because it's not Segrist that's behind him at the moment, is
yeah,
it?
You know, yeah, you think possibly, you
know, Scott Bain's been there and...
But look, that might happen next year. I know Scott Bain's been there and everybody's had a good look at Scott Bain, but you know, what's the harm in trying someone else in the back line? So be surprised if he goes full tilt with it. And I think these guys deserve it. They've played their part this season, and I know what it's like being a squad player, a Celtic. You
that's
play
why
a
you
part.
Feel so strongly about this, isn't it?
I feel sorry for them.
Give the squad players a chance.
Field appearance on the record.
Are we at the stage where we need to start counting who needs an appearance for a league
medal?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. By the way, the players have been doing that.
Yes. Used to do that with cars in my day.
It's not changed a bit now, no?
I'm not sure you'll need to tell me.
Do you not get like extras? Have I not got vision? Why can I not? I feel like I can remember Marvin Compere getting a medal over his head. And
But they're not the real ones.
Chocolate ones.
The ones you get on trophy day, right, the gold ones.
So those are, right, okay, so they're symbolic.
You get the one in the...
They're the chocolate one. You eat them.
You get the one
in
the holder.
You're getting changed.
So you've that's got a different delivery.
So you still need the appearances from the special.
That's a different delivery.
So you learn something new every day. Paul, of the guys that have come in for a bit of criticism since the game last week, who are the ones that you've, you know, sort of still got faith in and think is worth at least seeing a bit more of this season?
I think Big O needs a bit more time. He needs a lot more time. Once he's just a young guy. Then he got a lot of service on Saturday, and you know, he was unlucky. The way he took the goal was really, the way he took his chance was really good, but it hit the post, and that goes in, it kind of, the game changes, and they missed another two sitters as well. But the guys that I'm thinking haven't took their chance are Haksabanovic. He's probably the main guy that's not took his chance. He's had a few starts, and every time he's had a start, he's never done anything. I think some of the guys, I think Awata and stuff as well, you need to give them a wee bit more time. But Celtic have got a lot of players, you know, like guys like Turnbull. And I just feel that, I don't know, it must be hard for them sitting watching it. And I don't think Ange is really one for sentiment, so I think there'll be a few moving. I hope there is a few moving, because to keep it fresh, you need to bring in fresh blood. You need to keep pushing. And Joe Hart, I like Joe Hart. I think he's more than a goalie. I think he's like another captain, and I think he was quite important in bringing him in as a bit of stature for some of the other guys coming to the club. But I think they need to look. Joe, he's not getting any younger. And as Mark said, I'd like to see Segrist. He was a good goalie at Dundee United. Scott Bain seems as if he's just happy to be there. That this is, he'll beat Celtic as long as he can be. But his figures were very good. But my main disappointment is Haksabanovic.
That's an interesting one, actually, because he has had a chance. He's had way more of a chance than O or Burnaby, and they're clearly a talent there, Mark. Just wonder, is he one that's really grabbed the starts in games when they've come along?
I don't think he has. I'm with Paul on this one. And I think his lack of starts tells you that as well. Now, I know Ange Postecoglou favours.
He even started one of the Champions League group stage games, didn't he?
He did. Postecoglou favours Jota and Maeda, and if not those two, Abada. But Haksabanovic seems to be down the pecking order, and he only seems to play a part from about 30 minutes to go. And he scored, what's he scored, maybe 4 or 5 goals, and some of them catch the eye. I think he should have done a lot more.
Do you know what will catch the eye? Have you seen him on Twitter? Is it? And by the way, I assume this is real. I just sort of skipped over it earlier on. He appears to have gone and got some sort of like diamond teeth made. So that's probably a really bad description. I'm assuming they're not actual teeth. A diamond grill, if you like.
A gum shield?
Sort of. No, but more of like a fashion accessory.
That doesn't sound very fashionable.
Yeah, I think you should get it. Unless it's top or bottom? I've just searched it on Twitter.
Hold on,
he's been up Swarovski at the fort.
I think you've
that's horrendous.
I think you've got that in your locker.
No, that's not him, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it appears to be. Yeah, I can see.
I like that.
Yeah, it's on his Instagram apparently. It's on his Instagram.
He's a brave man to sport that. I mean, sure. that shows you the difference between him and Hatate. Hatate's got the big blue rugby gumshoe.
I still think you're misinterpreting this.
They're full time.
But that will be some sort of safety measure for Hatate. Yeah. But this is a fashion statement.
Well, if they're diamonds, they're not harder than diamonds.
You go to your bed like that. That's the way he's got his bed.
I mean,
like
they're removable, obviously.
I like them.
So
I like them.
So he wears them out.
I think to match his outfit, presumably.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I think there's any dentists out there. Do you think we could get Gordon Dale fitted for a set of this?
I'm not even kidding on. I'd go for it. I like that.
Shut up.
You're like George,
with a big.
Make a difference for the yellow ones. You can't just
I don't think it's you.
Anyway, what about him as a player? Let's forget his mouthwear choices.
I know what the boys are saying, and it's very hard to disagree. I like him. I think he's a very talented player. I think that for him, I don't think he likes this sort of a bench player and then coming on. I was looking forward to seeing him against Hearts. He got an opportunity to Tynecastle against Hearts, and it's probably the poorest I've seen him play.
Where is his best position, though? That's what I couldn't tell you. Is he an out-and-out wide player who goes past people with pace? No. Is he a behind-the-striker, number 10? I don't know if he is.
He always tries to come in off that left, doesn't he, though, and get shots away.
I think on his game mark he's a handful. I quite like him, but he just doesn't get enough game time. And the problem is he's not alone. I'll give you a player just now, and you'll probably say, well, he's not done a lot since he came on, blah blah. And I think he's a brilliant talent. Turnbull,
he's not done a lot since he came on and blah blah.
Right, it's the same situation, because he's not getting an opportunity because the talent in front of him. Haksabanovic is the same, because you've rhymed him off. Of course, in the big games, Jota, Maeda, Abada, all of a sudden they're in front of him. So when you're not getting that game time constantly, you're not telling me, it's not like a switch. You just can't come on and go right bang.
But it's just hard, isn't it? How do you then take your opportunity?
That's a big question. That's a problem. And he's now getting judged with likes of Paul and Mark, and it's very hard to say no, he's wrong because he's done well.
You just like his teeth.
I love his teeth.
Thank you to Paul.
He's my player. Yeah.
Any dentists who want to get in touch and offer their services for Gordon Dale, he will take it.
01419511025.
I'm glad you're here.
He's getting me right for new Nashers.
It's a good time to get your call in, Rangers fans. What are you thinking about this potential new signing you've been linked with? We'll discuss it next, hopefully with you.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson are here. 141-951-1025. You need to battle through the busy phone lines though, with all the dentists on, trying to offer you some diamond implants.
That'd be brilliant. That'd be brilliant. Love it.
I feel like this show is pretty much like a helpline for you, because I forgot to mention to you, you know, the other night you were whinging about your sore foot because you inappropriately came to your work wearing your slippers.
Yeah.
We genuinely were getting chiropodists on the phone.
Oh, Gordon.
Phoning in to try and help him.
I'm an agony.
Well, I wish he would hurry up, because he's turned up today.
I'm an agony.
With one normal shoe on and one flip flop. And the flip flop, Gordon. I said to him when he came in, it's in the worst nick ever, the flip flop. There's every stain you can imagine on that flip flop.
It's a fake crocodile on the side of that.
No, that's a real crocodile.
What have you spilt on the flip flop?
Listen, that's why I've only got one.
What is that stain on it?
I walked by a shop and I thought, no, how there's only one out.
You may try them on.
Yeah, I've narrowed it down to the fracture of the fifth metatarsal, I think.
All right, David Beckham over there.
Yeah, it's the fifth one.
I think, though, I mean, I'm not a medical expert, but what is really bothering me, well, your flip-flops are bothering me. Quite frankly, they're offensive, right? But see, if you're going to do that, wear them both, and then your legs will be like the same height. If you like, you've got one shoe and one flip-flop. As a man who's had a hip replacement, that strikes me as being reckless.
No, no, because one leg's bigger than the other anyway with a hip operation. So that just evens it up.
Did they not even up when they did
it
for you?
No, you get one leg bigger than the other.
Yeah, because when you hammer the new hip in, they don't measure you. It's not like a suit, mate. You're not going for a suit.
How much hammer it in.
I don't know, but I went to get measured and I've got one leg.
So why don't you do
that
every day?
That's why I can get around a corner.
Why don't you wear odd shoes every day?
I do. I've got a heel pad in my other one.
We're talking about your heel pad. What kind of heel pad you got?
Oh, big ones.
Curious Creatures has been inspired to write you some poetry. He said, hold on, this is, talk amongst yourselves whilst I check if this is okay to be read out on a family show.
Nah, I think it's all good.
When Daz went to the dentist, he had a strange request. He asked them for a hacksaw to put them to the test. He asked them for a diamond as he sat down in the chair, but Daz was soon to find out dentists don't put diamonds there.
I like that. He's good.
Anyway, back on planet Scottish football, Rangers fans, you might want to get involved. Please do give us a call. And I'll be honest, I don't expect you to be necessarily clued up to an expert level on Jose Cifuentes, but he is the latest name, Mark Wilson, to be linked with a move to Rangers. He is an international for Ecuador. He played at the World Cup, 24-year-old, currently playing for LAFC in the MLS. His contract expires at the end of that season, which is December. And now it seems to be more than rumour stage that Rangers will look to complete that move. I think Toulouse are amongst the other clubs. I think English clubs have been mentioned in the past. Just interesting to see if this is one that Rangers get done early.
Well, interesting to see that they're willing to make the move. He's got 6 months left, but I believe when I was reading that, willing to pay that up to get him here as soon as possible, and that's exactly what Michael Beale has to do. Like, when you, these players that you've never heard of before prop up, you look at them firstly, where they're from, have they played international football, at what level have they played, and you just mentioned there, part of an Ecuador side at the World Cup, so of some standard, of course. We just can't really judge because we've not seen much of them. But if you go to a World Cup and represent your nation, then it's got to be half decent.
How important will it be for Rangers, Gordon? It can be a transfer window cliche, and everybody tries to do it, and there are often very valid reasons why you don't. But do you think, you know, I think Michael Beale said this before as well, hasn't he, but making a real conscious effort this year to just do it early?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'd be surprised that if Rangers had let it go at the end of the season, and it went on and on and on, because it brings a bit of, you know, supporters being anxious, who we're signing, we have to improve the squad. Obviously, he's got a big job to do because there are players leaving the exit door as well. So he's got to make sure, you know, how many's going out, who's not signing if they've offered new contracts, i.e. Ryan Jack and people like that. So it's massive. But I think the Rangers manager's right, because if you do look at Postecoglou, who gets all the pats in the back for his transfer record, is he does his job early, he does his business early, and it's successful. And that's why I think Michael Beale, he's right in the ball, he's got his targets there, and he's trying to get everybody in.
But Michael Beale, it'll be interesting, we're always saying who's going out, who's not signing these contracts, but Michael Beale said a couple of weeks ago, did he not, if you've not heard about a new contract being offered, then take it that they're leaving.
I think that was aimed specifically, or certainly more so, in the case of Kenton Morelos. I don't think it's going to be crazy to think that someone like Ryan Jack might still hang around for next season.
So at the time, I took that as
everyone.
We were chatting about Ken and Morelos in the context of things back then, but he didn't specify that. Now, I think Ryan Jack will sign. But the others who there's question marks about, then time is ticking. You know, if I was a player and I was coming out of contract, I'd be saying, I need to know.
Well, that would be the other thing, Gordon. You know, I think sort of described as a kind of box-to-box midfield type, which is very vague. Granted, does this add to, because we know the one area that's actually got a bit of certainty about it in terms of new signings, Cantwell and Raskin have both come in, they're both midfielders, they're almost certainly going to be there next season. So if we're talking about José Cifuentes, are we to, is that to replace Ryan Jack? Is it an addition to Ryan Jack? Is there an attempt there to sell John Lundstrom? These are the next sort of questions.
Well, the question, if you look at Lindstrom, question mark, you're looking at Ryan Jack not signing a new contract. Kamara, Arfield.
Good point.
There's four midfield players.
But then
players.
Two of them are still under contract.
Yeah, but
of course.
Well, Kamara's not playing football, right? So he's not going to sit there and want to be a bit of a squad player. And I think looking at the situation, Michael Beale at this moment in time doesn't have him up there in the first two or three. So Kamara will be wanting to play. So that might be a case of saying, right, okay, we'll move him on. I think that the midfield will be, you know, a lot of them moved on and new faces, as you quite rightly says, he's already got Cantwell in there, Raskin, this lad as well. I think that there'll be a lot of movement in the transfer market for Rangers. I don't think it's at four or five. I think it'll be a lot more than that.
Again, Mark, sometimes it's at a very early stage, we're guessing and joining dots here, but, you know, if you do manage to even move Glenn Kamara on for, even if it's a small fee, that might be the small fee that covers this.
Maybe, yeah.
Fee to get this contract bought out before the end of December. So I suppose these are the types of moving parts that you need to consider.
Well, it's the wheeling and dealing that Beale has to do at this minute in time. I mean, Kamara is another one for me. The mismanagement, again. I mean, it wasn't that long ago people were chatting about Kamara, how he came for, was it 50 grand or something ridiculous like that? And he'd went to the Euros and, you know, all of a sudden it was going to be millions and millions of pounds, and then all of a sudden he was on the bench, all of a sudden he was at the squad, and now he's struggling to get any minutes at all, and we're talking about him getting out for minimum money. So another disappointment for Rangers in that respect, but I think Kamara's days at Rangers are over. If Beale can shift him for any sort of money to subsidise a deal for Fuentes, then so be it. It's the kind of market he's got to look to exploit.
And do you know what? It's pretty much official that he's signed now, because bearing in mind the way these things play out these days, see if you go onto his Twitter account, he's liking lots of tweets from Rangers fans telling him to come to the club. So it's pretty much done.
How old is he, Gordon?
24.
Have you been on his Instagram? Has he followed Rangers?
Remember
yet?
They used to talk about the scarf above the head picture. Yep. Gone. Nobody tweets cares now. About that. It's now, have you liked tweets?
Or they follow the Rangers players or something like
so
that.
So if you go onto his Twitter account and go to likes, you can just see, welcome to Rangers, see you soon, can't wait to see you playing for us next season.
I wait to see the comments now, the Celtic fans. You've mentioned that.
Please sign for Rangers. Like this tweet if you're signing. Tell me you're signing, please, etc. And he's just liking them all. So he's either sign, he is, it is happening, or he's just loving the attention.
Nah, it's happening. That's
one of
happening.
The two. Do you think so?
Yeah, a bit of both. I'd do a bit of both.
Anyway, Rangers fans, what are you thinking about the makeup of your midfield next season at this very early stage? Get your calls in, but before we do any of that,
beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, beat the pundit time. We had a win for the listeners last night. Always like it when we get up and running. It was a good win as well.
He was very good,
very impressive. So
he was surprised.
Let's see how we get on tonight. 0141 951 1025. Your chance to beat the pundit is next, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you're just joining us, please feel free to join in on the discussion, talking about what are Celtic looking for, what they're going to try and learn and achieve between now and the end of the season, because the title's in the bag. It's a nice position to be in. But then there was a lot said about some of the so-called fringe players playing last weekend. So what are you expecting between now and the end of the season in the league? Celtic fans, as for you Rangers fans, José Cifuentes, have you been doing your research in terms of someone who looks like they very much could become a new signing in the near future? Get your thoughts in there. We've got midweek playoff action to look back on and look forward to, if you so fancy. Any Airdrie or Hamilton fans who want to share their experiences of last night, please do, and we'll move on with this before we do anything else.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A 9-goal thriller last night. 5-4, Simon Donnelly lost.
Lost? Mm. Ooh, we said they'll not be
and
happy.
And you'd have hated
that.
It because it was a car full, four.
Nah.
But, no, listen.
Ban them.
Let me finish. The rest were hopeless. They stayed silent, and the guy who actually phoned in, he was just answering them all himself. Quick fire, he was good.
Was he?
Yeah, they're
there. Nah, I'm not having that. There are many bus on the
well, night. I hate to tell you, Daniel is on the line and he's not alone. Daniel, How are you?
Not too bad.
How many have you got helping?
Nobody really. I've got my 10-year-old daughter in the car with me.
I thought he was in a plane.
Listen, Daniel, there's every chance she will be better than Gordon DL, so I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Know.
What's her name?
Jasmine.
Brilliant, Jasmine. I hope you enjoy this. We hope we get a sign ball sent out to you at the expense of Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. Heads, it will be.
What a terrible joke. Did you hear that?
I just ignored it.
I was dreadful. I needed to bring that up.
Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it is Tails. How's your form?
Good.
Is
very
it?
Good.
Okay.
I don't mind the two against me. I think it's an even.
Keep it polite, remember. Jasmine's
two,
in the car.
Yeah,
all right.
Two against me. I'm quite happy with
behave
that.
Yourself.
Jasmine, all the best, guys.
Thank you.
Right, let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to. Daniel, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? All right, Daniel?
I'm here.
Good man. Right, your time. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Good man. Your time starts now. Who was the only Rangers player to miss a penalty in the Europa League final 1 year ago today?
Oh, no. Ramsey.
Which current Brentford player has previously played for Kilmarnock and Celtic?
No idea, Ivan Toney.
In what year did Aberdeen last play in the Scottish Cup final?
20.
Apart from Celtic and Rangers, which Scottish Premiership side have won the most away games this season?
The Hearts.
Name any SPFL side who play their home games in Dumfries and Galloway.
Queen's Park.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Are you ready?
Yeah,
you're
he's
in
laughing
trouble.
At, he's
you're in trouble.
He's laughing at something.
Ready?
Right, go.
Same set of questions to you, shall we?
Right.
Who was the only Rangers player to miss a penalty in the Europa League final 1 year ago today?
Aribo.
Which current Brentford player has previously played for Kilmarnock and Celtic?
I didn't hear the question. Pass.
In what year did Aberdeen last play in a Scottish Cup final?
2014.
Apart from Celtic and Rangers, which Scottish Premiership side have won the most away games this season?
St Mirren.
Name any SPFL side to play their home games in Dumfries and Galloway.
Cooney South.
What was the score? Did we start the question?
Aaron Ramsey.
What
incredible.
Was the score the last time Scotland men's team faced England?
It was 0-0.
Daniel, what do you think?
I think I might have done them. I'm not sure though.
Oh, you need to give me that first question back. I can't believe that. Aye, okay.
It was a year. But what a fast year that's been.
Isn't
it? A year ago.
Ramsey.
Anyway, yes, Aaron Ramsey was the only Rangers player to miss a penalty. Daniel got it.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
1-0.
What was the second question?
Well, this is the thing. You have to listen instead of shouting out and whatever it was you were doing.
Right.
Which current Brentford player has played for Celtic and Kilmarnock?
Ayer.
Exactly, but you weren't listening. So it's 1-0 still to Daniel. Aberdeen last played in the Scottish Cup final in 2017. None of you got it. Still 1-0, Daniel. Apart from Celtic and Rangers, which Scottish Premiership side have won the most away games this season? I'll give you a clue. I'm going straight to five asides. Which team's shirt am I wearing right now in front of you?
St Mirren's.
A shocker you've had here.
Motherwell. Nice black and yellow away number. Can you not see it?
Yeah, okay.
Motherwell. It is Motherwell. 7 away from
home. I never got that, obviously.
He did not. Name any SPFL side who play their home games in Dumfries and Galloway. Daniel, I'm devastated for you.
He didn't get that wrong, did he?
Because I know what you meant.
Yes, what'd he say?
Queen's Park.
Oh, Daniel.
And I've got sympathy because they play here, there and everywhere, but just not
Danny
quite.
Boy.
So we're leveling 1-1. Oh. It ain't a classic.
I've got it.
0-0 the last time Scotland men's team faced England.
Daniel get it?
Daniel didn't get that. Daniel, that does not deserve to win. I am devastated for you.
Dosh one.
Hard lines, Daniel, hard lines.
3 points, mate. Unlucky. No ball.
Hard lines, Daniel.
Phone in again.
Thank you, anyway, guys.
Good man. That was Daniel and Jasmine on the line.
Jasmine, yes.
Wisher.
I love how you rub his nose in front of his daughter on the line.
I'll tell you what, I was under pressure. 2-1. There.
That was.
No, what makes it worse though for Daniel when Daniel says, "I think I've done him," and then Daniel only gets one. Hey,
the two of them in the car high five each other. Give us five. A high one, a low one.
Jasmine already had plans for that ball.
I would not into school. I would not be bragging about that if I was you.
Hey,
woeful.
Are there a ball leaving this
absolutely
studio?
Absolutely woeful.
I cannot.
Aaron
believe.
Ramsey.
I know. And then I would have went on and got higher. So I would have comfortably put him away. I was only sparing his blushes there.
Sure, he will score the goal.
I know he did. I get mixed up, Gordon. And we all do sometimes. But it's how you bounce back, isn't it? It's all about bounce back ability. Is it not?
Incredible.
Bounce back ability.
Now, Daniel, I'm fed up with these two and you're still on the line. What are you thinking about your team at the moment going forward to next season?
Well, just really hoping that, kind of hoping that Jack signs on again. And so far, he's Raskin and Cantwell have been two good signings, so we'll just need to wait and see what he brings in.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're talking there about these rumours, or it seems more than that now, about Jose Cifuentes potentially signing for Ecuadorian international. I don't expect you to be an expert, Daniel. Don't worry, I'm not necessarily putting you on the spot, but you'd still like to see Ryan Jack stay in that area of the pitch, and obviously Raskin, Cantwell, they'll both still be there. Is that
well? Just let's hope the injuries aren't as bad as this year. I think it's the injuries that have really hurt us this year. Injuries we've had.
Yeah. What do you make of John Lundstrom at the moment, Daniel?
He's not been as great as he has been like last year in the European Cup run.
The reason I asked Gordon is because I think certainly if I had asked that question 6 weeks ago,
yeah,
I think the impression I was getting is that the Rangers fans were done with him and just, you know, didn't want to see him playing in big games or starting matches. I do just wonder if a couple of his more recent performances have maybe shown that that's not necessarily a lost cause.
I think he's turned it around a little bit. I totally agree with you. 6-8 weeks ago I'd have been saying Rangers would be better looking to move him on. I thought he took a real dip in form. But I remember sitting watching the game Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and although Aberdeen won that, I thought Lundstrom played very well. And since then, he's been on the game, I've got to say, and he's hit form probably at the right time. So it's a difficult one. But if you look at the players that Michael Beale's sort of a target now, that's three midfield players he's brought in since January. You just wonder if one more comes in, then obviously somebody's got to make way. I think Kamara will probably go. I agree totally with Mark. Arfield, as he come to the end of his career at Rangers, and I think Ryan Jack will stay. But Lundstrom's certainly one that's in the Rangers fans' minds now. I think a lot of them have sort of swayed back to Lundstrom in favour of him because his form early on was terrible.
See, to be honest, I think if Rangers are going to bridge a gap to Celtic, they need better Lundstrom in there. If Lundstrom was to stay, I think the way Beale's, and I'm only taking this from his two signings, Raskin and Cantwell, I think he's shaping up his team to be more dynamic, more mobile. I think Lundstrom would turn into be a squad player, sometimes used in the centre-back position when needed as well, which, you know, that serves a purpose, of course. You need players like that in your squad. I don't think he would come into the best starting 11 category next year for Michael Beale.
Have you seen an upturn though in the last? Without doubt,
well, purely because his performances went so dramatically downhill. Daniel was just mentioned there on the run to Europe when he played that role, that vital role. You know, not asked to do too much, but just sit there, protect, and then of course he scores a goal, which makes him a hero. He was great, but he has went off the boil. And so is a lot of his teammates. But I just feel that a lot of the Rangers fans recognised it early in the season, were on his back all throughout the season. He didn't quite recover until the more important games were out of the way, until the league and the cups were all decided. Yes, his form has upturned, but it's a bit too late for that, in my opinion. So if he does stay, which of course he might, I think he would be a squad player, and I think Michael Beale will go for better, more mobile players in Midland Park.
Again, whilst we're at the sort of outset stage and looking at the the generalities of José Cifuentes and know where he comes from and the age and the profile. Even just the market is interesting. Rangers maybe looking, trying to look far afield as well. It feels like there has quite often in recent times been a reliance on the English market, and then that was one that was explored with Cantwell, but then Raskin wasn't. As there was, you know, Dowell from Norwich and Butland and some of the names, it still felt like there was going to be a reliance on that English market. If Cifuentes was to materialise, then that would obviously be from elsewhere.
Yeah, they're obviously doing their work. They've got people out there working, looking at players from all over the world, Gordon. The interesting thing for me is they're trying to get the younger players in now, tie them up to longer contracts. They're trying to get some assets, and that's what they need. Because let's not be kidding, you need players in that if you even buy them in for X, Y, or Z, or you get them in a free, you've got to put some value onto them. Now, it's well highlighted that Rangers have missed a boat in a few, with Morelos, Kent. Kamara's the same. Kamara was a hot bit of property at one time, with Rangers playing very well, European games excellent. So he was attracting some attention. They'll not get anywhere near what they want for him. So they've got to rebuild that for me. And that's why you can't just look at the one market. You've got to be open-minded, get people out there, start spotting the talent, get them in, and you start, as Michael Beale was brought in to do, coach them into better players.
And then again, Mark, it will be, this probably, the intensity of these questions will depend on how well this player does, if and when he gets here. But you want, you know, is this something that was the ball rolling under Ross Wilson? Is this Michael Beale and Michael Beale only? Is this other people who are already at the club that are bridging that gap at the moment anyway?
It's hard to tell because the lines are so blurred at the minute. Because there's been such dramatic change throughout the season, it is hard to tell where the recruitment lies. Has Michael Beale...
Well, John Park's there, isn't he, at the club? And
yeah, but has Michael Beale put a line through everything that Ross Wilson suggested and went, no thank you, threw it in the bin, I'm taking over for here, and I've had this list of players up my sleeve for a while, and this is who I want? Or is he looking at that list and saying, okay, yeah, I agree with half a dozen of them on that list, let's make it happen? It's quite difficult to tell. But I think the clearer thing to tell is that Michael Beale is said that he's going to have the final say. And he's got to. The manager, when he's trying to bridge that gap with Celtic, he knows what he needs on the field better than anybody. Upstairs, scouting players, giving you stats of players at other teams and other leagues. The manager alone knows what he needs to catch a Celtic side. So I think it's quite right that he gets the final say. But we'll go back to it. He needs the majority of them to start really quickly, really well, and that buys them much more time with the Rangers fans in terms of signings, not in terms of losing his job, but in terms of trust in his signings.
Don't get me wrong, Gordon, it's probably a minor point, and it's actually only really comes into play when you're talking about signings that don't work. The ones that do, you're just happy that someone brought them, not that bothered about who. It's the ones that don't work that you end up looking to point a finger.
Yeah, the ones that don't work, obviously the manager carries a can for that, 100%. I just think because of this this conversation that everybody has now about this bridging the gap, the summer is so important for Michael Beale. Now, I think he'll bring in quite a few players. Will he get everyone correct? Absolute not. That doesn't happen. But he's got to get the biggest percentage of him hitting the ground running for next season. That's his job. That's why he was brought there. And I mentioned about the younger players that he's looking at round about that market. Now, it was well documented, he was brought in because of, you know, people questioned, he's not been in management game for a while, but he's a brilliant coach. So that's his job. Bring them in, get them at the right age, get the right sort of player he wants, coach them and make them better. That's what he'll be judged on.
01419511025 is the number Michael dialed. He's a Celtic fan. What's your point tonight, Michael?
I've actually got a couple of points. The main one being how Rangers fans feel, how confident Rangers fans are for next season, considering they actually were far, far better than Celtic at the weekend there.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them, I guess, Mark. And there's a lot of, as Gordon said, I mean, the summer could change everything.
Well, I know, because last week's game has no relevance to next year's league title. So I don't know. how confident Rangers fans. I tell you what, they will feel. They'll feel a lot better that they've actually won a game against Celtic this season, because if you go a full season without beating your rivals in over six occasions, then that stings a bit for the summer. But I don't know how they're feeling overall.
How are you feeling, Michael? It's kind of tough to us, you know, for any of us to answer on behalf of that. What are you thinking about your own team and what happens going forward?
I mean, I'm actually quite confident. And one of my points was to disagree with the gentleman who, fellow Celtic supporter, who was talking about Hamanovic. Now, I might be wrong, but I've looked up his stats and he's played over 30 games this season, most from the bench. Now, in 17 appearances, he's scored 5 goals and 4 assists. He's in a position where there's quite a lot of talented players that he's up against. And I don't believe he's one that should be going out the door. I wouldn't like to guess how much money James McCarthy's on, who should be going out the door. Where does James Forrest's career lie? Having played very, very little games. Now, I know there was a gentleman mentioned Joe Hart. Joe Hart's only 36-year-old, and you only need to look at what Craig Gordon is doing at the moment. I know he's had a double leg break, but he's aged. I don't believe it's time to start looking for replacements for Joe Hart.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting names there, Mark, certainly that, you know, James Forrest, an interesting one, because we all know what he's achieved and how good he is, but he's just signed a long-term contract, didn't he? So you do wonder what that future looks like. David Turnbull's another great one. He's got loads of appearances for Celtic this season, but they're always off the bench. They're starting to dwindle a bit. The other name Michael mentions, who knows about James McCarthy? Because again, it was a long-term contract that's nowhere near over. He could not, I'm assuming is there an injury in there as well, but he couldn't be. You're about as far away from the Celtic starting 11.
Thanks.
But it's, we always do this when we approach a summer. Yeah, just move him and him on. Just move them on. To where? It's not always that easy.
I think in situations like McCarthy, I think the player has got to show the appetite to go and play football. Otherwise, you've made your bed, you need to lie in it. He's at the club for the remainder of his contract. Because he's never, let's be honest, never really going to get near an Ange Postecoglou starting 11, really. When the players were watching, being brought in ahead of him, the way the team's playing. James Forrest's an interesting one, because that was a contract given under Ange Postecoglou's watch. He then came in and he showed his worth, because he scored a hat-trick this season and he had that wee spurt that
and
he showed.
And again, he's been injured as well, I think, yeah. But still.
But injuries at James's age, the injuries have always kind of followed James through, and he got a period that he got a clean run at it and we saw what a player he was. Outstanding player for Celtic. But now he's a bit older, the injuries catch up, and especially with wingers, so you just wonder what the future looks like. Ange Postecoglou said, we never stop, and that means in terms of refreshing the team. But you can't have too many people about the club on high wages who are just getting nowhere near the bench or have very little impact. That has got to be moved on. It's always constantly got to be refreshed. I think Celtic manager will be aware of that, but it's difficult to move people on if they've got no appetite to be moved on.
Yeah, I agree with you. And by the way, first and foremost, I don't point the finger at the player. You know, you're sitting there on a very nice contract. You're not going to leave Celtic and say, yeah, I want to go and play football and I want to leave Celtic because I'm not getting a game, and go to a club and not get anywhere near the money that you're on. Of course, it's all about finance now, and players are no different. You've got to look after yourself. It's a short career. You've got to look after your family. It's appetite playing football. I think, Mark, I agree with Mark. You'll be sitting there. You know, I think that obviously Celtic will strengthen the summer again. So a lot of those players, i.e., will it be James Forrest going down the pecking order? I wouldn't be in a rush to get rid of Haksabanovic. I still think he's got a bit to offer. You've also got to try and make a little
and to
bit...
To be fair, just on that, I'm not sure Paul, the previous caller, was wanting rid. He was just saying he was one that hadn't impressed him when he'd come in to try and stake a claim in the team.
And I think that somewhere along the line, hopefully, you got to leave a little bit of room there to include some of the younger players. Summers, as Mark mentioned there, I like the boy Vata. When I've seen him coming off the bench, I think he's brought a good bit of energy, a bit of spark to the team as well. So it's a fine balance. But it's not as easy as supporters think. Right, okay, you're not in the first team, you're not in the first team squad, you need to leave the ground, you need to get away from Celtic. It doesn't happen that way. You've got a contract. Celtic have given you the contract. At the end of the day, you can sit there and make Celtic honour that contract. It's just up to you if you want to take a drop in wages and go and play football elsewhere, or it's a financial situation.
Some interesting names you raised, Michael. Thanks for doing that. That was Michael on 01419511025. We'll try and get these two a full-time teaser next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are in the building. It's that time of the night where you send in a piece of trivia and the pundits try and come up with the answers to your question between now and the end of the show. It's the appropriately named full-time teaser. We do it most nights to have a bit of fun and get everyone involved towards the end of the show. Your question from the Crazy Pony tonight is a good one. I really like it. Now you're going to need a prop, an information sheet, if you like, just to help you along the way. Anyone who wants to play along at home can just Google it or whatever. Can you name the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership this millennium to represent... Right, I'm going to word this differently. That sounded... I could see the confusion in your face. I could see the confusion in your face. For each team in the top... For every team in the English Premier League top 10...
English Premier League.
Mm-hmm. Who's their top scorer this millennium that's also played in Scotland? Okay, so you'll need the English Premier League table maybe to help you. You'll know who's first and second and third and so on. So for
the full Leipzig.
So for each team in the top 10 of the English Premier League, who's their top scorer this century who's also played in Scotland?
Defoe.
Four.
Well, he's played for that many. It's Spurs.
Yes, there we go. See, you put yourself down. Easy, well done.
Gary McAllister.
Four.
Liverpool.
No.
Leeds. No, they're not in the top 10.
He's not in the list.
No.
No.
Andy Robertson then?
No, but he can't be far off.
I know.
I was going to say, don't be silly.
So who's Scottish?
No, so Robbie Keane.
No, bear in mind, right? So, no, listen. So.
Oh, I get you.
Robbie Keane.
Robbie Keane. You must be on there.
I think I've confused things.
Oh, no. No, and he has to be Scottish.
We are not the two you want to be confusing things further with.
So the goals the goals tally is here, right? So they're the top scorer here.
Right. Okay.
I'm not wording this one at all. No. It's the Crazy Pony. I think he's not worded it great either. He says, can you name the top goal scorer in the Scottish Premiership this millennium to have represented each team in the top 10 of the English Premier League? He's worded it better than me. I shouldn't have tried to change it and be smart.
Chris Sutton. There you go. Chelsea.
Not Chelsea.
Blackburn. Blackburn.
Chris Sutton.
Norwich.
This is a disaster. Aston Villa.
Yes, well done. So there we go. So that's a good example of why it's the goals that relies on the goals that they scored up here. So can you name the top goal scorer in the Scottish Premiership this millennium to have represented each team in the top 10 of the English Premier League?
Yeah.
The pony worded it better than me. It's still a bit confusing, but I think once you hear the answers, it kind of makes sense. So for Spurs is Jermaine Defoe. For Aston Villa it's Chris Sutton. Like, take Arsenal as an example. Who would be the top Scottish Premiership goal scorer this century who's represented Arsenal?
Arteta.
No. Way more goals than that up here.
Ian Wright.
No.
John Hartson.
Yes. There we go. Three down, seven to get.
This has been worded poorly.
We're just getting the answers here. I don't think it has.
I think now that you realise the theme, I think you're going to crack on quite well with it. Don't you worry. Don't need to be.
Brighton's got to be a hard one, is it not?
Or is it?
Who's played for Brighton?
There is a player who scored 44 goals up here in the Scottish Premiership who's also played for Brighton. But you just need to identify who it is. Anyway.
44 goals played with Brighton.
Right, listen, you two get some thinking time. You can go quiet, Kyle, because something much more important than your full-time teaser coming up.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yes, a bit of a change in tone on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but hopefully you're getting familiar with this, because every night this week it is Mental Health Awareness Week. If you didn't know, hopefully we've been able to flag that up for you. And if you did, well, hopefully you've managed to take something away from the guests that we've had on around this time every night. Just looking, we've spoken to all sorts of different people. Joe McKee, who's a Dumbarton player but also works for the Back On Side charity. We had SFA ambassador and female referee Isla Buchanan on last night. It was someone you know well, Mark, David Duke from Street Soccer Scotland, to do great work trying to use football to benefit people's mental health struggles. So tonight, going to shift the focus ever so slightly and be joined by Liam, who's a Motherwell fan. He's just a Motherwell fan, doesn't necessarily, he's not running any organisations or anything like that. But I thought what might be quite beneficial from Liam is firstly to welcome him to the show. Liam, how's it going?
I'm not too bad. How are you guys?
Not bad at all. You're obviously in good company with Gordon Dale always telling everyone he's a big Motherwell fan, although some of us are not entirely convinced. I suppose, Liam, what I wanted to get a fan's perspective then is, how has football met your mental health struggles and helped? You know, how can football be important?
Yeah, I think massively, to be honest. Around the time where things were sort of happening with me, and I was really vocal on social media. I kind of used social media as my personal blog, to be honest, just to kind of let people know how I was progressing. Around that time, I became slightly disillusioned with football, to be honest. Wasn't doing very well. Had kind of cut myself off from everyone and everything. And it's not really until I was kind of discharged from hospital that I kind of fell back in love with it again. Kind of aided by, I suppose, the support that I received from my football club at Motherwell, specifically Alan Burrows. When I was in the hospital, he reached out to me, and he was fantastic with us, and it really highlights just how much a community-based club Motherwell actually are. But yeah, I try to go every week where possible. And it really just gives me that sort of, almost cliche, but it couldn't be any truer, that sort of 90-minute escape for reality, where you're able to build connections and get supports for different people as well. And that's really what's happened for me over the past 2 years. I've met a lot of good people through football. So it's been massive for me, really.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, of course, Liam, it goes without saying, only answer in a manner that you're comfortable with. But to what extent then did things get tough for you when you mentioned that time when Motherwell reached out to you?
I don't think they could have been much worse, to be honest. I think what's important as well, we kind of what I'm going to discuss, is we put the words on it to actually sort of break the taboo of what I'm going to speak about. But 1st of April 2021 and then the 4th of April 2021, I tried to take my own life, just for a lot of culminating factors. That kind of led to a sort of hospital admission. So I was in Ward 1 at Wishaw General for, I think it's 17 days, where at that point I was given the sort of safety and stability that I needed at that time. But it was really apparent for a lot of people, because the way I dealt with it at that time was to kind of almost let everyone know that I wasn't doing well. I do have regrets around that at that specific point, but I think the way it's played out, I can't really regret it, because it really helped me get the supports, I suppose, that I needed.
And how does that feel to have your football club reach out and help? Because, you know, I imagine there are times where you, maybe at some clubs you can just feel like you know just a number, and you think, you know, how the sort of community ethos there at Motherwell, and how did that feel actually to have players and staff and the club and everyone kind of reach out and help?
I suppose you can't really believe that it's happening. Again, specifically Alan, I've got quite a good relationship with Alan. He was the CEO at Motherwell at that point. And I remember, again, didn't deal with it the way I wanted to, but the way I did was through Twitter. So had a lot of DMs from sort of players, I suppose all over Scotland as well, but specifically Motherwell players reaching out to us,
offering things like facilities. I'd had a recent surgery on my knee, and I was offered facilities at Mullow if I ever wanted to use them, which kind of blew my mind, to be honest, and was really overwhelming that the football club that I've supported and I've attended matches with my dad and my friends for as long as I can remember were reaching out to me. And as you say, promoting that sort of community ethos that Mullow really do push. I don't think it's something that you get everywhere else, and I think that is what makes Mullow so unique.
Yeah, do you know what's funny? We mentioned this earlier, Liam, completely unintentional. I happened to be going to play five-a-sides very badly after work, and I've stuck on Motherwell's luminous third kit. And then it just kind of dawned on me that when we were speaking, that was, of course, a kit that was launched for charity. I think it was Samaritans, Breathing Space, Childline, local charity Chris's House.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of this strip that I'm wearing by accident was actually to encourage fans, you know, who are struggling to speak up and speak out. And I suppose this has been a real sore issue, hasn't it, in and around Motherwell and the local community, because there are unfortunately far too many people that didn't get help in time the way that you did. And I just wonder now that you are sort of here to tell the tale of why you think that happens to young men and how important it is that people do manage to get the help in time.
Yeah, I suppose specifically for young men, there is obviously a massive stigma. That stigma is known across the world. I mean, you're met with basic sayings, men don't cry, man up, things like that. So how can you, as a man, feel comfortable and sort of opening up about your feelings when you're met with that sort of defeatist attitude? It almost becomes impossible. And it's not until you actually realise that the attitudes and the sort of values are now starting to shift that it becomes a lot easier. Because if you are keeping things inside, you're not vocalising things, you're not getting yourself out there socialising, speaking to your friends, then you're not going to look for support from maybe your GP or the NHS or the stuff that is going to help you, the practitioners that are going to have a good effect in sort of changing that journey for you. So I do think it's certainly met because there is a stigma, and I think that stigma, more so than anything, really has to change.
Yeah, important advice from Liam. And just before we let you go, Liam, how are you now? How are things? As you know, you talk about football and getting back into it and giving you a purpose and all that sort of thing. Is life treating you well?
We're getting there. There's been changes over the 2 years. It's certainly, and I do want to say this as well, it's not plain sailing. Do you know what I mean? If you confirm that 2 years ago, you're still going to have your bad days as well. But it's how you then manage the bad days. It's not a sort of one-size-fits-all. You just need to find the things that work for you. So for me, that's football, that's exercising, it's socialising with friends, and it's finding the people and the support networks in my life, the people that will dig me out when things aren't going too well. And if it wasn't for those things that I've just listed, it could be a different story. But over the course of 2 years, obtained a job which has had a massive influence on my mental health as well, because I do enjoy it. I've recently just moved out of the house as well. I've moved in with my long-term partner. Oddly enough, pretty much 2 years on from both of those attempts. So I suppose my message is things can get better. They might not be perfect, but you just need to take your time with it. You will find a balance. If that's what you want, and I suppose the saying that I kind of remind myself of is, if you want to cross the ocean, first you need to build your boat. So you need to have the foundations in place that get you to the place where you want to be.
Liam, superb. Honestly, really, I'm in awe of you coming on and putting that across so well, so effectively, and I'm absolutely certain that will speak to a lot of people who are listening tonight. So thank you very much.
No, thank you very much for your time as well. I'm a big fan of the show, so I'm delighted to be able to come on and spread a message that's so important.
Well, you've just made the show a whole lot better, that's for sure. Thank you very much. That was Liam on the line, just the latest in our Mental Health Awareness Week features. More of that tomorrow night, and we'll get back to talking football, teasers and all the rest of it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. Yes, I know this teaser is difficult wording of the question, but I think once you start getting into the swing of things with the answers, you will progress. Can you name the top goal scorer in the Scottish Premiership this millennium to have represented each team in the top 10 of the English Premier League? So it's one for each club. So as an example, if I'm to say to you Arsenal, you say to me John Hartson, and that is correct. Yes?
Yes, yeah, I said that to you.
Great. You've also got Jermaine Defoe for Spurs. Chris Sutton actually ticks the Aston Villa box, believe it or not. So
Does Larson tick the Man U box?
Well, of course he does.
Right, okay.
Absolutely, because who on earth is going to have played for Man U but scored more goals in Scotland than Henrik Larsson?
What, and here's a Brentford
what about, one. Oh, Brentford, on you go.
Christopher Ayer.
Exactly, yep, because there's no one else. He's only got four.
What about the Newcastle one? Alan Thompson.
No.
Oh, no! Has he not played for Newcastle?
Yeah. The Newcastle one is a cracker because he scores a lot of recent goals up here, but you've just forgotten that he represented Newcastle maybe once, or there a handful of times.
I thought it was Alan Thompson.
I mean, really recently. In fact, it'll be the most like recent
player
and relevant, and recent, not relevant, the most recent name on this.
Mm.
Not even out. He's not. Well, okay, this will be might be the clue that gives it away. He's not a striker. Not even close to a striker. But he still scores a lot of goals.
Centre back, full back,
Tavernier
from Newcastle.
Oh
yes,
two league appearances.
Two league
I think.
Appearance.
I wouldn't have got that.
I got it.
That's you got six really. Of the top 10 in England. Craig Foy sent me in. He knows the answer to your Brighton one.
What about John Collins Fulham?
No.
Ross McCormack.
Great shout, Mark. That was a good effort.
Thanks, that's so patronising.
No, I was impressed with that.
Right, okay. Give me another Fulham one then. Oh, it's Stephen Johansson. No.
Davis.
Stephen Davis, well done.
I'm not doing too well.
Three to get. We'll try and get them before the end of the show. Let's start hearing a bit about the relegation battle. I'm quite into this. I like this. St Johnstone going to Kilmarnock this weekend. Steve McLean, Derek McInnes, I don't think they're quite on the same wavelength with some of their comments. Let's hear from Stephen McLean first.
We're in the driving seat. We're ahead of Kilmarnock, ahead of Ross County, ahead of Dundee United. So it's what we do. We can control our performance, and then hopefully the results will follow. Yeah, it'll be difficult, but they're there for a reason. They're below us for a reason. They've conceded a lot of goals at home as well, so we know what we need to do, and we'll go and win the game. Listen, the club need to be in the Premier League, and we will be in the Premier League, and we'll go into Kilmarnock at the weekend, and we're going to go and win the game. Simple as that. And then what will be after that will be.
Wow. And here's how. And
you don't
usually
like that? I do like that, because you know, well, young Inter managers are usually cagey, but not him. He's out there. He's bullish. I think his team would like to hear that. Put an awful lot of pressure written off on his players. But good on him.
And here's how Derek McInnes responded.
I've just watched Steve McLean's press, and he said that they won't get relegated and they're coming here and they will win the game on Saturday. So it's hard to guarantee that as any manager. All I can guarantee is we'll be ready for a tough game, and we'll do all we can to win a game of football. And if we win the game, then it helps for cause, there's no doubt about it.
Those are quite bold comments then from an opposition manager.
Yeah, so, but no, I think everybody's deals with and looks at that whatever way they want. But from my point of view as a manager, you can't guarantee anything. All you can guarantee is your team's going to work for the right result, and that's what we'll be looking to try and do. If we can build on the second half performance, particularly last Saturday, if we can get something close to a 90-minute performance in that second half, we'll give ourselves a real chance of getting the positive result that we're all looking for. We're really looking forward to the game, but I'm looking forward to the end of the game as well with a win. You know, that's what we're here for, and Saturday was much better after the game, driving home. We're at 3 points, but you quickly move on to the next one, and the next one is an opportunity for both teams to win the game.
Are those comments something you will feed through to your players?
I've not decided yet.
Take that as a yes.
Yeah, of course it's a yes.
Keep a wee eye on the dugouts on Saturday.
That's a old classic experience and experience. That's what it is. And you can go either or. Derek's played it down very well. Experienced manager, knows, been round the block. McLean's went in there, all guns blazing. I like that. Good positive attitude. Got an eye in that game.
Yeah, must have been.
I don't think he's been, Stephen McLean, I don't think he's been disrespectful to Kilmarnock. I don't think he's playing down Derek McInnes's side. He's stating facts about it.
It's just still a different bold, way, isn't it?
Oh, aye, without bold. Doubt. And he knows he's in there.
You know, what was it? They're below us for a reason. Yeah, that's
a fact.
Studs are showing, though.
That's a fact.
I would say. He might have won the ball, but the studs were showing.
Yeah,
I think,
and he'll know Derek. But Daz is right. Derek, experience, been there, done it. He's handling it the right way. He doesn't need to feed it to his players. His players will be well aware of it at the minute. That'll be a good one to watch. It certainly will be.
I'm fascinated because I obviously get the place that it comes from, where Stephen McLean says we will be in the Premiership next season. And ultimately, if they do, obviously people can say, yeah, well, you know what, he said he would, and he did well done to him. It just, do you need to go that strong when you are 3 points above the playoff spot? If Kilmarnock were to win that game at home at the weekend,
yeah,
St Johnstone are in deep bother.
Dundee go to Livingston, that table could look completely different at 5 o'clock on Saturday night. I'm not so confident after watching them last weekend. They just don't look a team to me that, if you put pressure on them, can defend. They'll lose goals. But the managers decided to go down the road of, I'm not going to be negative, everything's confidence. Let's see if these players react. It's big few games coming up for them.
Yeah, it certainly is. And at the same time, Mark, a win just for St Johnstone would end all of this. That would put them onto 39 points, and it would be all over.
Well, that will be it. And if Stephen McLean does get a result there, then we all go, you know what, he was right, and he had the courage to back his own statements. You know, and everybody looks at him in a different light. You know, he realises he's got a job to do in a very short space of time. He's got to make a big mark, a big impression. If he does one, by the way, he's in the driver's seat to get that job permanent. If he gets beat, then of course there's egg in his face, and we're all standing here going, well, that wasn't quite the right thing to say. That is the fine lines of being a manager and how you conduct yourself in the media. It's such a big part of the game now. Not just tactics.
And trying to get the belief through to his players though as well.
Well, get the belief through to his players, but the fans as well, thinking, yeah, we have got the right guy. We've got the right spokesman who speaks up for our club and backs us. But if it goes the other way, the fans are saying, this guy's just went a bit the wrong way. Fine lines in management nowadays.
Right, I'm really looking forward to that relegation battle this weekend. Let's finish off the teaser. Nathan's got the bit between his teeth. He knew James Tavernier before you two. So let's go through the other clubs. So for Man City, who's the top Scottish Premiership scorer this century, this millennium, as the pony says, who's represented Man City at some point?
Well, I was going to say Bellamy, but it's not him.
Not Bellamy.
Ooh. Represented Manchester City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Roberts?
No.
Oh.
Same team as him, though. They scored a lot more than Patrick Roberts did.
Man City?
No, for the goals
of Celtic. For Celtic, Man City.
Scored a lot more goals than Sinclair.
Yes, Scott Sinclair. Well done. Okay, you've still not given me.
We've got Brighton and Liverpool.
Come on, Brighton.
Is Charlie Adam?
Yes, Charlie Adam is Liverpool.
Charlie Adam's in every full-time teaser.
Good shout.
Well done,
Brighton.
So you're looking for who's the top Scottish Premiership scorer this millennium who's also played for Brighton. It's a very niche. There only is one answer to this.
Gordon Greer.
What a good shout.
This guy scored more goals than Gordon Greer.
Kyle, no.
Former Motherwell.
Oh, Jamie Murphy.
Jamie Murphy.
No.
Well done.
That was a good one. I liked that.
In the end, it was good. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Thank you to Mark and Gordon, first and foremost. But more importantly, thank you for listening and tweeting and calling. Big thanks to Liam as well for joining in on Mental Health Awareness Week. I mean, so much so that since that call, producer Chris has been on the phone to people who are actually calling in just to see where they can get help. So genuinely, that's brilliant. The type of reason that we do it. amidst all the madness, there is a bit of seriousness goes on in here sometimes. So thanks again. We will be back tomorrow. Kenny Miller, Fraser Wishart, both here from 6 o'clock, previewing what is bound to be a blockbuster weekend in Scottish football. And Callum Gallagher is up next.